This morning, it's a pleasure to be able to introduce Brother Sam Dayanand, and I'm going to let him introduce his family, but missionaries to India and islands of Fiji. And we got to meet them while we did the mission trip at BIMI, and what a neat time just to observe the missionaries. We had a week to watch them, and I'm sure they were watching us as well, especially since we were cooking the meals. But I tell you what, this was a neat family to watch. What a blessing. They've been just in that week of ministry there, and we're looking forward to their ministry to us today. So Brother Sam, the time is yours, and introduce your family if you will, sir.
It's wonderful to be here, and I was actually thinking about the time when I met Pastor, and we looked up to him because he was the one who kept us going. They had the meals ready way up in the for the breakfast, and we had the enrichment week. The entire week they were there. What I saw there was a servant's heart, and that was impressive because, you know, it is nice when you can teach and preach. When it comes to doing it, it takes a true heart. And so what we saw in the entire team was they were so dedicated, and they did serve the Lord. And whatever they did was very dedicated. And I said, well, that's a nice pastor. And he was going on, and his wife as well. She was so meticulously arranging all the things there, and the entire team worked very well. And so that was impressive. So I was thinking, you know, we were talking to the team, and we understood that Pastor Fair was here in the church as well. And our friendship goes back many years when they first took us on there when I was still on deputation. And so it was a nice thing. They said, well, that must be a good church to visit. And so we said, well, we'll go ahead and ask Pastor if he could give us a time. And so he was gracious enough to have us here. And we are privileged to be here and to introduce our family. My name is Sam Dayanand. Dayanand is a difficult name to pronounce. In the other church that we were there, they were trying to get the name, and the son, he said, Dayanandanandanandanand. So it kind of goes on and on and on. So, but it is fine. It's Dayanand, and I have my beautiful wife here with me, Sharon, and Nathan, and Bethany. Nathan is 16. He is taller than me, but we thank God for their part in the ministry. We have been working in a village ministry where we had to start from the beginning, and he was our music minister. So Bethany was the one who would take care of the little children in the nursery. So we thank God for their work, helping us in that. And we've been missionaries in India for a long time, 18 years. And God has helped us. Sharon was a single missionary. She had 8 children before we got married in the children's home. And I was told, you know, as soon as you get to the table, don't wait for anything. Just go ahead and serve your plate. And but it was good to be able to see that ministry come up. The youngest one, she is 24 years of age now, and she has a 4-year-old son. So all of them are grown up, and we'll share a little more about the ministry in the evening. But to just give you a heads up, the Lord has led us to be able to go to Fiji to minister there. And it was a wonderful way that the Lord has led us there. We were thinking, what would the Lord want us to do with the present situation in the state of Karnataka, that way we were ministering. There was an anti-conversion bill that was introduced. And so as we were thinking about it, the Lord opened up doors to go to Fiji. I was thinking when we went back on our furlough last time, there was our field director. He said, we are distributing Bibles in Papua New Guinea and the Samoa Islands and the Sumatra Islands and in Fiji. And he had come and visited us in India. And we had started a pastor's training program where I had condensed the syllabus, what we teach in the Bible college, to be able to accommodate the pastors who are doing the ministry as well as they wanted to be trained. And so it was neat because they saw that and they said, we need somebody to do that kind of training program in these islands where we distribute the Bible as a follow-up. And so I had it on the back of my mind. And when we went back to India, I was thinking about going there for like about 3 months and then doing the program and coming back. But the COVID hit and then there was a gap there. I couldn't go to any of these islands. And then the government changed, and as they introduced all these difficult things, it was hard on us. We were thinking what we could do. And so praying about it, the pastor one of our missionaries, your missionary is here, Brother Stephen Maldoff. He's our field director. So I was talking to him and I was telling him what is happening. And I told him that, you know, we wanted to go to Papua New Guinea. And he suggested that being in Papua New Guinea as a family would not be that feasible. But he said, why don't you consider going to the island of Fiji? And we were thinking about that as well. So we said, last year, we took a missions trip or a survey trip. And one thing that really struck me was that it was open to the gospel. Even to hand out a tract in India, we need to think twice. But in Fiji, it was so easy. We could go ahead and start distributing tracts right away. And so I was so happy that there was a freedom that never existed in India. And so we said, well, that'll be nice. And Pastor Deku there, he's been serving there for many years, for almost 27, 28 years. So he took us around and he showed the entire island. And when we came to a point where there was a church and a campsite, he said, the pastor has gone back to the States and we are praying for a pastor here. And that kind of gave me, you know, ideas. So I said, well, that should be something that the Lord is impressing upon my heart. So we came back home and we prayed, and then we were in agreement. So we went back and asked the pastor. He said, do you think we could do that? And he says, well, that is a wonderful thing. You know, we would like that to happen. And he said, they need somebody to sponsor you, and I can give you the sponsor letter to come and be the pastor of this church here. And so we saw this all coming together. And we said, oh, that's probably the Lord's leading. And so we took that opportunity and we told our board, and they were praying about somebody going to Fiji as well. And another interesting thing is that there is almost close to half the population that are of Indian origin. I did not know that. And 43% of the population are Indians, and equally interesting is that they still follow the same kind of culture and traditions. Nothing has changed. It's been four generations that they've gone to Fiji. They went there as plantation workers in the sugarcane fields. They chose to stay there. Now, most of them are Fijian. They identify themselves as Fijian and not Indians. But they still follow the same dark beliefs. So that was one of the burdens that we had. We said, you know, we could work among them. And also when we looked at the Fijian people, they have lots of denominations. There has been social gospel that is prevalent now, and they need the Lord as well. And looking at this, we said, Lord, we are ready. If you want us to be there, we can do that. And so we came back now to the States to report to our churches, tell them that we'll be heading to Fiji. The board is approved. And going back to Fiji, it's a little different in the sense that it's an island nation. And so there was a little bit of difference in the support levels. And they said, if we can pick up new churches, that'll be fine. And so our prayers is that whatever there is a difference in the support levels, if that could be met, that'd be nice. And I was telling our director, you know, the churches are taking us on faith promise. When they can give by faith, I said, we can also go by faith. And so I want you to pray for us as well. We'll be able to do that. And I know God can supply all the needs. And so, God willing, the beginning of next year, we are praying to be in Fiji. And so if you can pray for us that all things will go well, we need to apply for a general work permit. They don't have a specific pastor's or an evangelist permit, but it is a general work permit. And I was told that it will take around 3 months to be completed. And so as we work on that, we want you all to please pray for us that all things will go well and that we'll be in the land of Fiji. And as we think about all this, you know, we were talking about that in Sunday school as well. Now, God is in control. We were thinking what would happen to all this government thing in India. We came here about a month after we came to the States. There was an election in India and the government changed. And the new government that came, they said, well, this new law of anti-conversion bill doesn't seem right, and so they're now working on reverting it. You know, God is good. You know, and when we thought that the doors were closing for us in India, God was working on opening two doors, one in Fiji, and now when if the work, the law is changed, we can, when we take a break and come back to India, we can still continue the work in India. And so we thank God for He is in control. And we would continue to look up to Him to do whatever He wants us to do. I also would like to take time to thank the church for making our stay comfortable and all the arrangements. And I can see the heart for missions that the church has. You know, the everything that has gone into us traveling and all the communication, it shows all the details of how committed the church is towards mission, and we appreciate that. And thank you for all the nice things that have been arranged for us, and a nice, pleasant place to stay. And thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate that. And for this morning's meditation, I would like you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 to 12. The word of God says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. As we read this passage, I'm thinking that a lot of you were thinking about this particular passage, saying that this should probably be a Christmas passage, isn't it? It's too early for Christmas. Well, it's a Christmas passage, but my intention today is not to talk about the first advent of Jesus Christ, but to talk about the four different types of people that we see here. So as we begin this meditation on the Word of God, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Father, we thank you for this time to be able to glean from your Word. Father, we pray that you will help us to understand the truth. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to apply it in our lives. And help us, Lord, that we might walk in your precepts, in the footsteps of you, Lord, for to bring glory and honor to you. Father, we commit this time into your care. Father, we pray that you'll use me to bring the words to your children, Lord, that they might be edified, strengthened, and be able to walk in your ways. Thank you for this time, committing everything to your care. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. A familiar passage to us. This is the time when Jesus Christ was born. And we see there in the first two verses, the first type of people that we are talking today about. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The first type of people were the wise men. Let us call them the people who were dedicated, people who were committed. The reason I say that is because these were the tough troopers. If you were to look at their episode here, the way they traveled and the things that they did, it took more than courage. It took a lot of faith on their part. They had to travel a lot of distance. And it said the wise men came from the east. It could be Persia, as far as we can think about, or even it could be further than that. They could be from Babylon, from the Chaldeans, or even from India. Interesting, isn't it? They traveled all that distance, and we see that it was a long distance in those times. And their best mode of travel would have been a horse, a donkey, or a camel. A camel probably would have been their limousine, the best mode of transportation. You know, we've seen the flatlands here, and in the deserts, it'll be sand dunes up and down, the mountains and the valleys. And it would be difficult to just travel. No, I don't know how many of you have been on a ridden a camel. I haven't, but I saw my son ride one. There was one on the beach where, like, you know, for a 5-minute ride they could take. And so just watching him, I was tired. You know, it's a different way it goes. The way it paces, it's like both the legs on the same side move at a time. And so it would be like discomfort when you travel. And if you were to look at these wise men, they had to endure all that travel and for long distance of time. And it is not just the distance and the way of travel, but the situations that they would come across. As we said, there were mountains and valleys and all different types of climates that they had to endure. And think about the health conditions. If they were to be sick, far from home, it would be a different situation, isn't it? There would be an emotional distress and, of course, physical strain. No guarantee that they would get good, clean drinking water. Whatever they could find, that's what they had to have. And food. And, of course, there would be no ready favorite warm food waiting for them. As they traveled, whatever they got, they had to have that. And, you know, they did all this. They went through all these difficulties. And they did that when we see in verse 2, it says, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And it says, and are come to worship him. There was a purpose in what they were doing. There was a purpose that they took this tedious journey. The primary purpose was they saw the star and they came to worship him. It was not like they were going on a business tour, and as they were traveling around, they noticed this different thing and they wanted to stop by. But they said when they started, they saw a star and they came. They took that, embarked on that journey to come and worship Jesus Christ. So these were the people who were willing to endure, undergo all the difficult tasks to come, see and worship Jesus Christ. And so it took a lot of commitment, the committed ones. Verse 3, we see the second type of person. It says, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. The second type of person we see was Herod. When we look at his life and the episode that unfolds here, we see that he was not a nice person. He was a deceptive person. He was a conceited person. How? When we look at this, he was troubled. He thought there was somebody who was coming to take his throne. And he was so disturbed with that, so he called the wise men and he thought his intelligence would work for him. He called them privately and he was asking about the details from the wise men. He said, where did the star appear? When did the star appear? And then he called, he knew that it was not just an ordinary star, but it was thing that was showing that the birth of Christ was there. We see those in the verses. This says, verse 4, and when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he knew that it was not just another king. So he knew that he was stepping in line and trying to fight God. We see also that he came up with different things. He was trying to use deceit and lies. He told the wise men, he said, go back and find the child. And when you have found the child, come back and let me know, for I would want to go and worship him. His intention was not to go and worship Jesus Christ. He was trying to lie and deceive the wise men. We see that when all of these things did not work, he was also going to go to the extra mile. And he was going to go and be destructive. We see that in verse 16. He says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and the coasts thereof. So he was destructive as well. We call this, you know, a dissimulative mind were conceited, lying, pretending, and trying to manipulate situations. He was a deceptive person. We've seen the dedicated person. We've seen the deceptive person. What about the third type? We see that in the same verse, in verse 3, it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and the third type of people, and all Jerusalem with him. See, all Jerusalem was the people of Jerusalem. They were troubled. When we look at their life, they lost peace. It is interesting here. All along, the people were looking for the Messiah. And here, when Jesus Christ was born, the Prince of Peace was to be there, and the people were losing their peace. They had the opportunity to find the eternal Prince of Peace, and they lost their peace. When we look at this, what would they be troubled with? Probably they were looking at the present situation around them. They probably would be thinking that, no, there's going to be a war, and they're going to lose all the privileges. And probably they were thinking about the escalating prices or all the discomforts. They were thinking about the temporal things, and they were losing focus on the eternal things. They were double-minded. They did not know where to place their importance on, what to place their importance on. Should they be thinking about God and the nice things that they're going to enjoy for eternity, or the present situation where Herod is going to try and wage a war and there's going to be difficulties on their, in their lives? So they were the double-minded people. They were the confused group. The last type of people that we see here are in verse 4. We see that they were the priests and the scribes. It says, and when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. These were the people who were disconnected. The reason we say that they were disconnected is because God was doing such a great thing in the lives of humanity. Son of God was being born in this world. And the priests and the scribes were given the privilege to know what was going to happen. They knew the scriptures. When Herod asked them, where should Christ be born? They answered him without a stutter or a stammer. They said, oh yes, it has got to be in Bethlehem. That is what the prophets have said. They knew the scripture, but when reality was happening, that Christ was being born, they were not at all moved. Such a great thing was unfolding in the history of mankind, and they did not have a clue. They were careless. When they came to know that, oh, this is going to happen, they would have asked the question, oh, where is it going to happen? When did it happen? And if I'm just thinking, and if it was me, the next thing I would do was leave everything and then go to Bethlehem. It was just a 6-mile distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And you know what the priests and the scribes did? Nothing. They just stayed put. They were not at all moved. When they knew that Christ was being born, they would at least looked up and said, oh yes, this is a great thing that is happening. They chose the rituals instead of the righteousness. They thought, oh, okay, we have got all these things set up. Let us just go ahead and do our own thing. The problem was they knew about God, but they did not know God. They were so close, yet so far from God. They were disconnected. They missed the entire point. So when we look at these things, the dedicated people, the deceptive people, the double-minded people, and then the disconnected people, we can identify ourselves in one of these four categories. We can be one of these. If you were to look at what happened to the four types of people, Herod, he was so possessive about these earthly things. He wanted his kingdom so bad. You know, just a short while, even when Jesus Christ was still growing as a child, King Herod died, and that to a miserable death. He died out of gangrene. His body was putrefying. It was dying out. And maggots were eating off his flesh. He could not hold on to anything that he thought was so precious. He had to leave all that earthly thing behind. What about the people? They were confused. They did not know which one to go for. The worldly things or for eternal things. Jesus, when he saw the people, he said they are like sheep without the shepherd. Even today, there are people like that. They are lost, scattered. They don't know what to choose. And the priests and the scribes, they were rejected. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the priests and the scribes, you can not enter the kingdom of heaven. They had all the nice things. They came up with their all those rituals and the laws and the do's and the don'ts. But that was not sufficient to take them to heaven. When you look at this, God's plan was right before all these people. Herod, he rejected God's plan. We can do that same thing. We have God's plan. It is free for us to accept it. But we think we can just reject it. Like Herod, we can reject God's plan. Like the people of Jerusalem, they had it in their hands, but it slipped through because they were not convinced, they were not committed. They let it just go through their fingers. They relinquished God's plan. And the scribes, they thought they could replace God's plan with their own righteous thoughts and their own rituals. They lost it. What about the wise men? The wise men, they received God's plan. If you look at what happens in their lives, we see that verse 11 onwards. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We see here that the star that they saw in the east, it went with them and it came to a point where it stood where Jesus Christ was. And we see that when verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You talk about superlatives. It was not just joy, it was great joy. It was not just great joy, it was exceeding great joy. And Sunday school, we were talking about that, comparing happiness and joy. It was not just happiness with things that was transpiring there. It was joy that was deeper and had more meaning. Here, the wise men had exceeding great joy in their lives. And we also see that there was a time where they could be with the Lord and come and worship Him. We see that there was a personal worship. They came, worshipped Him, and they were able to give the presents. They gave to the Lord gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some people say that there were three wise men, and that's why, depending on like the number of gifts, but we don't know how many people were there. But we know for sure that they were there in person where Jesus, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, they were able to worship Him and give Him presents. And just another side thought here, they gave to God. It was just returning what God had given to them already. And we can never outgive God because He first gives us and we can just give it back to Him. And we can give it so that there will be greater fulfillment of God's purpose. And these people were able to give back and there was joy in giving back to Him, to the Lord. And there's another interesting thing that I would like you to notice here in verse 12. See, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What we see here is that there was protection, divine protection. When they found the Lord, they worshipped Him, they presented to Him, and they were able to enjoy the Lord's protection. Isn't that wonderful? There was no saying what would have happened if they were to go back to Herod. He was probably going to kill them. But the wise men's lives were spared through divine protection. God's guidance went with them. Wouldn't that be a nice thing for us to have? When we are committed to the Lord, when we obey what He asks us to do, we will be guided with His divine protection and His wisdom. This is something that we can ask for, that we need to seek for. They were willing to give themselves first. When they started the journey, they made up their mind that they were going to endure this difficulty so that they can come and worship Him. There was a personal relationship that was established. And they were able to do something what God had given to them already. And they were able to enjoy God's leading in their lives. That's the same thing today as well in our lives. We can be people who can reject God's plan. We can be people who will just let it go through our hands and relinquish God's plan. Or we can be people who can take up other things and say, oh, we have got some kind of religion and we can replace God's plan. But if we were to enjoy God's presence, we have to receive God's plan. These wise men, they received God's plan. They committed themselves to doing what God wanted them to do. They came to Bethlehem, found the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were able to worship Him. And they were able to go back with that joy and with God's guidance. Would that be our desire as well. Today, if we were to ask the question, do we enjoy God's presence in our lives? Are we part of what God is doing in this world? Are we being led, guided by His divine wisdom? What would be our answer? If you say that, you know, oh, I need to still commit myself. I need to take that step of faith. Before I do anything else, I need to first give myself to the Lord. Would you be willing to do that? No, they say, wise men still seek Him. There's a song there that goes that way. How about you? Are you enjoying the joy that comes in knowing and living and serving the Lord? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, a loving Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we pray that You'll help us through this time of invitation, that we might commit ourselves. Lord, we pray that You will have Your way in our lives. Help us that we might be people who will yield to You, O Lord. Father, we thank You for this time. We pray that You'll bless the time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.